New York is one hell of a city. And despite the fact that it treated me worse than any man ever did, I was still hopelessly in love with it. Only this relationship wasn't exclusive. I was more than happy to share it with my three best friends, Miranda, Charlotte, and Samantha. Because they, like me, knew that in this relationship, anything could happen. I'd arranged to meet the girls for lunch, but because of a murder in the subway and a gay pride parade, couldn't get a cab. Three very rude drag queens later, I was running late and running out of ideas. Just then, a limo pulled up beside me, and a voice, so familiar it could have been God, said, "Need a ride?" I couldn't believe it. It was Oprah Winfrey. "Oh, thank you very much, but I couldn't impose." "Don't be scared," she said, with a chuckle that made me instantly remember my spirit. "When New York refuses you a cab, it gives you an Oprah." "Where can my driver take you?" "The Upper East Side, please. I'm meeting my three best friends for lunch." "There's nothing more important to a woman than friends," she said, in a knowing voice, richer than treacle, but not as rich as butterscotch. "Unless that friend gets in between me and my Manolo Blahnik," I couldn't agree more, I joked, allegedly. "You heard the woman, Leroy, Upper East Side, and step on it." Then she turned to me, her face afflicted by mischief. "The one thing on God's green earth, better than shoes, my new book club book. You should come over sometime, get a little preview." She outstretched her hand and handed me her card with her hand. "Oh, I'd love that. I'm a writer too, you know," I said. She said nothing, and the cab bulged with a silence as quiet as a guest bedroom once full of screaming cats, now empty of those cats. A week later, with still no column written, I decided that if anyone could inspire me, it was Oprah. I donned a pair of $45,000 clam diggers by Balenciaga and a sports bra, straightened just the front of my hair and clipped a basketball-sized faux fur flower on the side of my skull, and knocked on the door of her hotel room. She welcomed me in, sat me down, and we laughed the afternoon into the dusk as only rich women can. Midway through a monologue about whether or not I believed in soulmates, she leaned in and kissed me, Frenchly. "What are you doing?" I squeaked, like someone squeezing a bat. I'm with someone." "Damn right you are." "Oprah Winfrey!" "No, Oprah, with a fabulous man. Well, if I'm honest, I'm kind of caught between two fabulous men. Big gets me, you know, really gets me. And Aiden, well, when I'm with Aiden, I just feel home. And the odds of running into him at that bazaar in Abu Dhabi must have been at least 55 million to one. So that must mean something. I'd love some of your guidance on this." She backhanded me hard across the face. I flew across the room because I weigh about as much as a pineapple. Then she took my hands and knelt in front of me. Her eyes twinkled like two tiny neighboring spherical twinkle factories. "You're the book, Carrie. An empty book. And here's the first chapter." And she kissed me again, tenderly, her cool hand on my stinging cheek. And as I ran out of that apartment, I couldn't help but wonder, was it really necessary to slap me because I was really ready to take her point? That week, I didn't meet the girls for our usual line, line, smug gag. I told Charlotte I was working on the column, told Miranda I was seeing Big. Samantha didn't call because I'm not really friends with her one-on-one, she's better in a group. But the truth, I was reeling. I couldn't concentrate on anything, not even Vogue, and that's just colours. After pacing around in my underwear and repeatedly touching my forehead, I decided, for the sake of my sanity, to pretend the whole thing never happened and throw myself back into my passion, making tenuous puns about vacuous things. And never talk of that kiss, slap, kiss again. "But, what are you doing here?" she bequestioned me the next day. "What's the second chapter called?" I asked. "The Gemstone," she said, and yanked me inside by my horseshoe necklace, pulling off my Dior ruffle skirt. "Just as I figured, you've got a diamond between your legs, but we've got to shine that sucker up."
Gotta get it sparkling, something fierce, so I can blaze my light through it, make a rainbow. If we're lucky, make a laser. Okay, I said, not really following her. And as Oprah Winfrey shined my diamond, I couldn't help but wonder, why had it taken me 34 to 48 years to get into that bedroom? That night, Big called and I let it go to the machine. How could I explain to him that when she kissed me, it felt like a thousand aha moments? How could I tell him I was a book, no, a gratitude journal, being aroused into existence? How could I tell him that she held me as if I were donuts, honey-baked ham, pizza? As she devoured me each night, he fell into the periphery. Then one day she opened the door, groggy, in a robe, and told me I couldn't come in, told me the book club was over. I looked behind her and saw Gail sleeping naked on the bed. A cold wind whipped through my pages, blowing out the knowledge. I saw myself from above, outside her closing hotel door, a tiny, tendony woman with too many shoes. A fool with nothing left to lose. I threw my body against the door, which hit her gently in the head. Storming in, I punched her in the breast. Bam, bam! When she went down, I clamped my baby antelope thighs around her head, making the noise of a dolphin being killed. I squeezed and she gagged. Her eyes rolled back in her head, and as she went limp, I kissed her frantically, like she was an ice cream on the floor and I was a dog. You get the fuck off, Oprah. Gail, looming over me, naked and in surprisingly good shape. I hissed like a ferret and tightened my thighs. Gail swung the Emmy she'd hid behind her back and stabbed me in the stomach. Joke's on you, Gail! I'm wearing an armored corset by New Millennium! I sprang off Oprah in a glittery ball of rage, slashing at Gail's face with my nails. She fell backward onto the bed, and as I lunged at her, she kneed me in the vagina. Winded and groaning, I fell to the floor. Good night. In an instant, she was on top of me, one hand round my neck, one jimmying itself inside of me. She's not yours, Gail whispered through bloody lips as I kicked and jerked. She's not Stedman's, neon blackness clouded my vision. And she's not the world's, she's mine. I saw Oprah put her hand on Gail's shoulder. I felt Gail's grip release and her hand evacuate. I sat up, crying like a little girl. Don't leave me like this, Oprah. Finish the book. Put the Oprah's book club sticker on me. Don't leave me half written like this. Gail nodded. Oprah sighed. You know who you look like? She said. Sarah Jessica Parker. I couldn't help but wonder, who was Sarah Jessica Parker? Who's Sarah Jessica Parker? I asked, though the name rang a bell. Look her up. I typed in Sarah Jessica Parker and the results appeared. No, just search images, whispered Gail. That's funny. I don't remember going to the Emmys or marrying Matthew Broderick. Photos of twin babies and feathery hats in London. One part of my brain is startled and drops a hairdryer in the sink and plunges a hand in to retrieve it. And that electric shock skips along the synapses like a spiderweb made of fuses until the whole brain's ablaze like a Chinese fireworks factory. And I'm jiggling like a jitterbug, kicking off a Manolo and cracking Oprah's laptop on the ground as my measly backstory blows up and pops like a horse's stomach. And all my opinions fall like billboards into a street of screaming people who wink out. And Big and Aiden smoke and warp and melt like animatronics in a fun park disaster. And here's Charlotte, oh my god, Charlotte, on her back in raptures with her clitoris swollen the size of a Volkswagen, glowing amber like the abdomen of a honey ant, beckoning me. Touch it, Carrie, touch it, it's so sensitive. And Miranda looks queasy before bursting into a school of cuttlefish, changing colour, wheeling up and away in a rush. And Samantha's lime green Dolce & Gabbana top stretches and tears as she becomes the word Samantha. And a 10-foot-wide zipper splits New York down the middle, while booming from great speakers the phrase, meanwhile, across town, resounds. And Park Avenue and Brooklyn and the Upper West Side are sucked into the tear like passengers through the windows of a plane. And the stars are yanked through too, roaring protest all the way. And the sun too, and the moon too, scuttering along the street like a vacuum cleaner cord. And then it's just dark except for me, whoever I am, flickering barefoot in the sky like a projection on smoke. And I couldn't help but wonder, when you fall in love with a city where anything can happen, can you really be surprised when everything does? Thank you.